Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Short Term Show. Today we have Brenna Carls, my partner in the mortgage shop, and we are going to talk to you about rates and what they're doing and what we can expect because there's a lot going on out there right now. So we are going to ask the mortgage company about it. Hey, how's it going, Brenna?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. So it is late July in 2024, and rates are currently, where are they right now?
So rates have decreased throughout the year. We do have, strangely enough, the investment loans that we have are lower in interest rate than second home loans right now. With top tier credit, which is 760 or higher, it's currently at 6.99 with 20% down. And then with 15% down, it is with the 760 or higher credit score, it's at a 7.365, I think it was, or 345, okay, around that range. And then with second homes, the interest rate for 20% down second home, same thing, is around that 7.625. So it's a little odd. It just, I guess people are realizing, you know, you are allowed to rent out your second home when you're not occupying it. So a lot of people are doing that because it's a lesser down payment option. So I think what the secondary market's been doing, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are like, okay, we know that they're probably going to rent this out anyway. Let's try to make the investment loans more, you know, attractive than the second home loans. So they're just getting an investment only. They can still stay there if they want. They're not, you know, it's going to be easier to sell to the secondary market. So that's what I think their thoughts are behind it. And then the DSCR rates have gone down tremendously. I believe the same time last year, we were at that 8.5 range with the top tier credit. And right now we are at 7.42. So it's gone down about a point since last year in the summertime without the Fed decreasing rates. And we can talk about that in a little bit, but that's where current rates are as of right now. So they have obviously decreased since last year.
All right. And do you see them? I noticed the, well, actually, let me just back up a little bit. So everybody's waiting right now for the Fed meeting, which is happening in a few days. And then there's another one in September. People aren't really worried about the one in a few days. Nobody really expects anything to happen. But everybody's flipping out and the market's pricing in a 100% chance that the Fed will drop the interest rate. So as we know, mortgage rates are not directly tied to the Fed rates, but they are indirectly affected by them. But what they are affected by, the way rates can go down before we see Fed rates go down, is the spread between that 10-year treasury yield and mortgage rates. So right now, that's higher than normal. And you kind of want to explain to people how those two things relate to each other in a, you know, typically.
Yeah. So the Fed doesn't have to decrease rates for rates to lower. A lot of people are like, how have rates lowered? I even had that comment, I think, on one of the posts we made in your group saying, how can rates lower if the Fed hasn't decreased interest rates? Well, the rates don't lower just because the Fed increases rate, or like they don't increase if the Fed increases rates. They don't decrease necessarily if the Fed decreases rates. It does follow heavily the 10-year treasury. The reason why rates have gone down is because, contrary to popular belief, they're like, no, you know, news and media can't affect rates, but they do, because we go off of the stock market, S&P 500, 10-year treasury. We look at unemployment numbers. We look at inflation numbers. So if everybody's thinking, you know, even if they talk about it, if you look at the chart when they talk about it and they say, we think Chairman Powell is going to lower rates, it reflects, you know, positively for us for mortgage rates in the stocks, and it hasn't even decreased. So with inflation coming in lower than expected for the last 2 months in a row, and unemployment numbers increasing for the last 2.5 months in a row, rates are falling because of that. And because Chairman Powell has spoken to that he will be lowering rates at some point in the near future if it continues to follow that line. It has continued to follow that line. So we know that Chairman Powell sticks to his word ever since he started raising rates. He says he's going to raise rates. He's going to raise rates. A couple meetings ago, he said it was highly unlikely that he would increase rates again. And it was at a 67% chance that he would decrease rates in September. And then with the election and inflation coming in lower than normal and unemployment numbers going up, it has now went to 100% chance. I don't agree with anybody saying it's 100% chance because Chairman Powell hasn't come out and said officially that he will lower rates in September. However, I'm good with saying there's like a 99% chance he will do at least one rate cut this year, which would be September 18th. And then maybe possibly two rate cuts, one in December as well. So September and December are the months that we're going to look at for the Fed to decrease rates.
Short-Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more.
I want to talk quickly on, this is not any type of political statement. However, when politics are involved, no matter what anyone says, it does affect rates. I know me and you were talking when, you know, the news came out that Biden wasn't running anymore. I immediately went to the stock market to see what it was going to do because it's consumer confidence. Like, we are the consumers. If nobody buys and sells stock, like, the stock market will crash. So we are the ones that keep it afloat, the consumers. So if consumer confidence goes up and they're starting to buy these stocks because the stocks are like, I don't know, and they start going down in price, and then these people start, you know, that affects our interest rates. That affects the 10-year treasury. So I'm always looking at that 10-year treasury and then the S&P 500 and things like that to see what they're doing, to see what they are aligning with. And yeah, so 10-year treasury is going to mostly, you know, reflect what our interest rates are doing.
Yeah. And the media 100% affects rates, and people say that it doesn't, but it does. And again, this is not, I hate politics. I will never talk politics. I will never say anything about any candidate. But when Trump got shot in the ear, the 10-year treasury dropped. And we even on the real estate side, that Monday after that happened, all of our agents were like, oh my God, all of a sudden I'm so busy. What is this? And I don't know the economics behind that, but whenever there is a big political media kind of boom, that the rates do something. And they did. And then when President Biden decided not to run, they did another thing. So it really does. And I've been saying this to people for the past 3 years that we've been in these high interest rates high interest rate environments. It's almost less important what the Fed is actually doing or what the 10-year treasury or anything, what any of that is actually doing, as it is what the media is saying about it and what the media rhetoric is. Because if, you know, most people, like, you know, just living their lives in middle America, are not checking the 10-year treasury yield every day. They're not checking mortgage rates every day. But what they are doing is turning on their favorite news station when they ride to school or work or whatever. And whatever's being said there is what they assume, that what they take as truth, as what is going on in the country in terms of economics. And so whatever the media is saying is way more important than what is actually happening in the rates in terms of what the general public does. Yeah. And it really does affect it. But go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, I was listening the other day, like I nerd out with this stuff because I was sitting, I had just gotten out of the gym. It was Saturday and I screenshot a picture of my watch and sent it to Avery because it said like, this just in, Biden's like dropping out. And like, I was just like, and so I wanted to hurry up and get home and turn on the news to see what people are saying. And I watch every news channel because everybody has their political agenda. So Fox was going to say, you know, more along the lines of this is better for Trump. And then CNN along the lines of saying this is better for the Biden campaign or the Harris campaign now. So I like to look at all of them because everybody has their own thoughts and perspective. And then I like to see kind of what the common ground is. And then I look at the stocks to see what the general public are thinking of it. And that's what's going to determine our numbers. The reason why it went down when Trump, you know, the assassination attempt is because that's going to favor the Republicans, more people coming out to vote for him, whether you like it or not, you know, it is in the media. And what is Trump's political campaign? He wants to lower rates. So if that's the Republican, you know, confidence, then the market and the Treasury and the 10-year yield, all of that fun stuff is going to reflect that because those are the people that are hurrying up and doing something about it. You know, the same thing when Biden drops out, whether somebody thinks positively or negatively about it, you go to the stock market, stock exchange, and you will see what the general consumer confidence is. And that's what the 10-year Treasury will follow. It also follows, you know, what the Fed is saying, but it's heavily related to what the media says. And as we know, most media outlets for rates are trying to paint it in a negative picture because, you know, when the rates were going up, because it's scarcity, right? And what gets more views? You sitting back and being like, I have nothing to worry about, or you being like, oh my gosh, I need to watch the news because things are getting bad. What else is getting bad today? So it helps more views. So all of that correlates to interest rates. And I think it's interesting that a lot of people think it does not. And they've argued with me for the entire this past year. But we are seeing now that these rates are reflecting, starting to lower. And when I say rates are lowering, I'm talking about what we are here for, investment properties, short-term rentals. This isn't a primary residence, you know, show or what we talk about. I don't even hardly watch the things for primary residences. I look at what's affecting investment properties and vacation homes.
So, well, let's go back to that 10-year Treasury yield for a minute and the spread on that, which we'll define that here in a second if you're not familiar with what that is. So typically, and correct me if I'm wrong because I might be misquoting, typically mortgage rates for primary homes, which is mostly what people mean when they just say mortgage rates as a whole, are about the spread between what those are and what the 10-year Treasury yield is about 1.5 to 2 points, not basis points, whole points. Is that right? So right now,
I usually say 2 points, but yeah.
Okay. Okay. So right now we're at about 2.5. So I'm looking at the 10-year Treasury yield right now at 10:26 a.m. Eastern, 4.226. And primary home rates are, according to Mortgage News Daily, are at 6.87%. So what's normal is about, you know, a half a point less than that of a spread. Is it so? Right. We're at about a 2.5% spread. I mean, sorry, a 2.5 point spread. And we need, or what's typical is more like 2. So we've got that much room to fall without the Fed doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If we look at the 30-year national average, I think the average was like 5.5, right? So if we look at that, then we're about, you know, was it like, we need to come down like at least a point in that to get that national average again for the last 30 years. But I think with inflation and everything, it will bode well for everyone if it comes down at a half a point more. I think everybody would still be comfortable in that range for that. But yeah, that's where they are. I always say add 2.5 to that spread for the 10-year Treasury. And that's kind of where your interest rate will start at for primary residence. And then obviously, it increases for an investment property or second home loan.
All right. So that makes a lot of sense. And I think I just kind of wanted to make sure everybody's on the same page here. So hang on, let me find this stat. I think something like 80% of mortgages, just saw it. I've got too many tabs open. I call them my emotional support tabs. So I literally do keep like 100 tabs open. It's really bad. It makes Luke really crazy. So something like 80% of loans are, of existing home loans are at under, it was either 5.5% or 6%. So I think we got to get down to 6% even before people really want to list their houses again. So here's what I'm seeing is, right now, there's more inventory now than there was last year. But the grand scheme of things, we've been in a housing recession or even a housing crash for almost 3 years. It doesn't, mm-hmm. to some of us, it feels like longer, but you know, it is a long time. And I think what hasn't happened that a lot of the crash bros wanted to happen was, the prices are going to fall, prices are going to fall. And that has not happened. And I think the reason for that is because there is a lot of pent up demand. So just looking, I can only look at the short-term shop numbers because that's what I have access to. But, you know, being in 20 markets, I have a pretty good cross-section, a decent cross-section of what's going on in different parts of the country. And what I'm seeing is the same amount of people are coming to us to talk about buying a short-term rental, but less than half of the amount of people who closed in 2022 are closing in 2024. So less than half of the people are actually closing. Same number of people are coming in the door, less than half are going out the door to the closing table. To me, that says there's a lot of pent-up demand. And mm-hmm. This is going to be a long story, and I promise I'm going to get back to the point. And of those 50% of people that are closing deals right now, 80% of those people have closed a deal with us before. So they are experienced short-term rental investors. And I probably could go into that 20% that are closing that have not closed a deal with us before and find that a good number of those people just own in other markets that, you know, the short-term shop isn't in, and they're also experienced. And so we're seeing what I call the great stalemate. So buyers don't really want to buy in a high interest rate environment for obvious reasons, because their payment is going to be higher than they want it to be. They can't make the numbers make sense. But also sellers don't want to sell in a high interest rate environment, because in order to sell their property and get it sold in an environment like this, they have to drop the price to where it makes sense for the buyer's numbers. So they have to take a hit on their value if they want to sell right now. So people are not selling. So we just have this great, like, people sitting on their asses, not doing, you know, not buying, not selling, because they're waiting to see what happens. And it's because of the rates. And when those rates go down to what I think it'll be 6%, a lot of those buyers are going to jump off the sidelines and start buying. So what I've been telling our sellers is like, hey, you want to make sure, they're like, oh, you know, we want to wait to list until rates come down. And I'm like, that's not a bad idea, but you want to be listed before the rates go down, so that when that first wave of people jumping back in to buy comes, your property is there for them. Because what's mm-hmm. going to happen is, once everybody realizes, oh, here come the buyers again, then all those people who've been sitting on the sidelines who didn't want to list are going to list now. And then there's more competition, you know, for sellers. So anyway, I read something like, for every percent that rates go down, something like 4 million buyers enter the market. And I think if we get to that 6% number, that things are going to be pretty crazy. Maybe not 2021 crazy, but I do think multiple offers on every property, which is going to drive prices up even further than they are. So we've all that to say, big, long monologue here. Just let me take a bow. The crash bros are wrong, in my opinion, which, you know, who am I? I'm just a chick on the internet. But the crash has happened. We've been in it for 3 years, but prices did not come down right, like people wanted.
Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus.
This episode of The Short-Term Show is brought to you by The Short-Term Shop. 30-year fixed mortgages, tax benefits, and long-distance management training made easy are just a few of the perks of owning a short-term rental. The Short-Term Shop can help you buy and learn how to manage your property from anywhere in the world. Just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected. Again, that's theshorttermshop.com, and we are brokered by eXp. See y'all over there. The crash.
They're not going to come down because, you know, especially in short-term rental markets, because people are making a profit from that piece of real estate. And when that happens, like you said, when prices don't go down, even though there's not a lot of interest out there because of rates, once rates go down, I know we all sat through the same kind of class, you know, economics in high school about supply and demand, which was really boring at the time. But when there is more demand for one property and the prices have not dropped, the prices will go up. You saw in 2021, people are going in, or 2020, right? 2020, beginning of 2021, you're going insane at offering 100,000 over asking. And it's going to happen again, not probably to that extent, but you're going to have more buyers for one property. People are going to be competing against each other, competing offers. People are going to start offering more, you know, waiving, you know, appraisal contingency, waiving inspection, which I don't recommend, offering a little bit more of income on that property, or a purchase price, or not needing seller concessions. So that's going to happen. What's also going to happen that you have to consider is some people are holding onto their property, not wanting to sell, but wanting to cash out, refinance to lower their rate and get equity out of their property that they've been sitting on for 2 to 3 years to buy more properties. They're not necessarily wanting to sell. They want to keep that one so it'll keep making money, get a lower rate, and still be able to pull cash out. So we're going to see a lot of that as well. So it's going to be less properties on the market because of supply and demand. And also people will hold their property to cash out, refinance, to purchase more as opposed to selling it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, people are waiting to do that too. And I just think that the waiting for prices to crash, that's not something that has ever happened outside of 2008. And it's because of the lending guidelines back then. They were totally loosey-goosey. I sound like my grandmother. But anybody could go get sometimes an over 100% loan-to-value loan. And we don't have that anymore. And my favorite real estate economist that I follow, he's with Housing Wire. His name's Logan Motoshami. His caption on Instagram is "All American bears have failed since 1970." So everybody that's been waiting on things to come down and waiting on things to come down, they don't ever. They continue to go on an upward trend. Now, upward trend, so not straight up. Like there will be slight fluctuations where you might be able to get better deals than others. But, you know, people told me in 2017 when I bought my second short-term rental, oh, you know, it's too late. You paid too much. The crash is coming. And then in 2019, same thing. People told my clients that they should have bought in 2015. And then in 2020, people said, oh, you know, I'm going to wait to buy. I'm going to wait to buy because I'm going to wait and see what COVID does. And then in 2022, when everything was double the price, quadruple in some cases, they said, I'm going to wait until after this is over to buy. And then prices just keep going up. You know, everybody always says they're going to wait, or not everybody, but the people who say they're going to wait usually don't end up ever being able to get anything. Because now, you know, if I'd listen to people, I mean, my first one in 2013, long-term investors were telling me I was too late. It's going to crash. I'm paying too much for a $122,000 property in East Nashville, in Tennessee, which now would be, you know, easily 500,000, probably more. I sold it when it got to 250, but you know, everybody, the people who always say they're going to wait are never the people who are like, oh yeah, good thing I bought that because now it's worth double, or now it's worth 20% more. I don't think we'll see things double over the course of 2 years ever again, but real estate always trends upward. Mm-hmm. It would be really unlikely that we see a crash in prices, in my opinion.
Yeah. And people, you know, you said, I'm going to wait for prices to come down. Then 2023, they said, I'm going to wait for rates to come down. You have to look, if you're really wanting to be a good investor, you have to look at both sides and be educated, because that's just like us saying, like, all right, I want to go lose 10 pounds, but then I go and grab a Twinkie from the cabinet after I've worked out. Like, it's not going to work. There's going to be one way or another that you have to compromise, whether it's rate or price, to get in, to build that equity and appreciation in your property and hold that property and make money from it. Obviously, you're not going to make money if you're not going to get into the real estate game at all. So obviously it has to make sense for you with the money and the rate and everything like that. But making sense doesn't mean you're just going to cash flow like 35% cash on cash return or, you know, whatever it is. It means that maybe you're, you know, making a little bit more than breaking even right now. You'll refinance when rates lower. The difference is you already own that property. You're not competing with multiple offers. So you'll have that property and have that option to refinance once rates lower. And people are like, well, Brenna, how do you, you know, what if rates don't lower? I mean, where in the history have you continuously seen rates continue to go up for the period of 3 to 5 years? I mean, you don't. It ebbs and flows. It's a market. That's what it is. It's an investment market. 2008, like you said, they were going off of stated income and stated assets, which is mind blowing to me. They did that with the builders, and it was a builder bailout because the builders were using money from another property that the borrowers had given them to build another property, and they couldn't keep up and they couldn't pay their bills. And that was what led to the big housing crash. And that's what led to a lot of serious guidelines now that are in place to protect you as the consumer from that, as well as protect builders to not get in over their head. Just like, let's say we didn't have those rules in place, you know, when COVID did hit and, you know, the cost of material skyrocketed. We saw that with some of our new builds that we were doing. I don't know if you remember that, but like a builder would quote, let's say, $400,000 to build. And then they're like, now we need $520,000.
Yes, that got really hairy.
Yeah. In the span of 8 months, 6 to 8 months, it was insane. And if we didn't have the guidelines that we do in place, it would have been another 2008 scenario. But because of those guidelines and restrictions, the buyer and the builder and all people in the transaction are protected from that.
Yeah. I mean, that was not a good scenario, the new construction scene in 2020 and 2021, because that, you know, that's true. The cost to build shot up so high that builders were having to come back and say, I can't build this house for the price that you're under contract on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, please just, if you're not okay with paying the price that it's going to cost to build, like, please terminate. Yeah. And, you know, some people did, some people didn't, you know, some people took that all the way to the end, and it was just a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. I think I aged like 4 years and 8 months.
Yeah. That was a bad one. All right. So anything else that you think our listeners need to know about mortgage rates and coming up? And guys, we're also, please don't mistake this podcast for us saying that rates are definitely going to go down. We have no way of knowing that. Nobody knows, but we can only talk about where the signs are pointing with the information that we have now. So we are by no means saying go buy deals that don't work and then refinance it when the interest rate is down to make them work. Buy deals that work at the rate you're able to get them for. And if the rates go down, which signs are pointing to that they will, then you have extra.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think, you know, I'm going to compare it to just because the movie, that new Twisters movie came out. And then my husband and I watched the old one the other day because it's just a classic. You know, if you know that a storm is coming and these storm chasers and somebody that's so proficient in it are like, I can't guarantee that it's going to be an F4 tornado or whatever it is, but we're pretty sure it's going to be. I'm not going to sit there and chance it out. I'm not going to be like, well, I bet they're wrong. I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to listen to the industry experts that know what they're talking about and go the other way. So no, we can't predict 100%. Obviously, if we could, we'd be sitting mighty pretty right now in some form of office. But I do watch it every day. You watch it every day. I am ritualistic about it. Like I'm on there every morning, just zoning. I do the math. And that's why I have, you know, excelled at this, to know, to tell my buyers, hey, let's hold off in locking, or let's lock right now. And that's what we're supposed to be able to give you guys is, you know, our expert opinion, so you don't screw yourselves over in the end. So that's all it is. You know, we do believe that rates are going to lower. I had somebody else ask on Facebook, should I refinance right now or should I wait until like October? I was like, personally, I'd wait until October if you don't need the equity out of your property right now, because it's a darn good chance it's going to be even lower in interest rate. And so it's not necessarily, you know, I see also, oh, y'all are just trying to get business. I've actually turned business away. I've turned a lot of refinances away because I think it's better for the buyer or the borrower to get a lower interest rate in a couple months as opposed to refinancing right now. So you do want to work with people that have your best interest in heart and aren't just trying to get a loan in to get commission or a realtor to try to get a closing so they can brag about it and get more money. Like, that's not what it's all about. And that's not how any of us have built our reputations in this industry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, guys. So, you know, we're just giving you the best information that we can with what we have and with the experience that we have and what we see happening in the market. Hopefully you have found this helpful. If you have any questions on this, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. So my Instagram is right there at the bottom of the viewer. So is Brenna, that is yours, right? That's your Instagram at Brenna Carls. Okay. Just checking. And let us know.
And on the mortgage shop, we post some updates on the mortgage shop one too. And it's at the.mortgage.shop.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. You guys know where to find us. Happy to answer any questions that you have. Or if you have any questions on interest rates, reach out to Brenna. And thank you guys so much. Maybe we'll do an update like this again in the next month or two.
Thanks, guys.